Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each show, I talk to an expert in health and well-being about an aspect of how you manage stressful, busy life, which we all seem to have. And today I'm joined by Kate Siraj, who is an Ayurvedic practitioner. Hello, Kate.
Hello, thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome. So the first thing that I tend to ask people is what their practice is about. So just let's start with what is Ayurveda, because I'm sure some of our listeners will have heard of it and plenty may well not.
Yes, it's something that's growing in popularity. So some people have heard of it through massages and things like that. But Ayurveda is a huge system of medicine, and it's a traditional system from India. So it's been around for about 5,000 years, and it encompasses a whole range of treatments. It looks at your diet, looks at your lifestyle, has thousands of herbal remedies, has hands-on treatments like massages, and it's also got some very unique intensive purifying treatments as well. So it's a large system, a bit like Chinese medicine.
Okay, and so I guess that leads me to ask how you found out about Ayurveda. I mean, what attracted you to become an Ayurvedic practitioner rather than, let's say, a Western medical herbalist?
Well, it was a whole combination of things. I was actually in a blue chip company doing marketing, and I went on a fantastic leadership course which made me look at what I believed in and what I really wanted out of life, and I realized I wanted to help people to live healthier and happier lives and be at peace with themselves. And also alongside that, I've been studying for many years a form of Indian philosophy, and I was doing meditation with that, and so I already had an inkling that I enjoyed that sort of thing. And Ayurveda is another form of Indian philosophy, really, that's got very practical and become part of everyday life, and how to keep yourself and your body and your mind and your heart and your spirit healthy. So that's how I got into it. So I gave up the blue chip job and went into this.
And I mean, really, from that description, it sounds like a one-stop shop, you know, that you can find the answer to almost anything you might be experienced from within the Ayurvedic tradition. But is that the case?
I would think so, definitely. obviously, you know, there'll be some things that might be trickier than others, but generally, most common things that you come across, there's an answer in Ayurveda. And even if you haven't got anything wrong with you, and you actually feel that you're quite well, it's a fantastic way to live your life. It's in terms of to stop you getting unwell. And in fact, half of the Ayurvedic texts deal with how to keep healthy rather than to cure disease. So it's got everything you need.
So keeping healthy, I think, is a really, really important point, because we do seem as a culture to be very corrective rather than preventative. And so if you were to just give us, even if it was just three things from that, just staying well, staying in really good shape, physically, mentally, emotionally, what would you pick?
Oh, that's there's a lot of things. Thanks for that big question.
Yeah, it's a big question.
No, I think the one thing that comes to mind now, with giving the seasons are really changing at the moment, it's getting really cold, is to really live in tune with the seasons. And in Ayurveda, there's a huge amount of things that you do to sort of fit in with the seasons, as it were. And for example, so oil massages, for example, you can massage yourself with oils to keep your skin healthy and to keep it from drying out, for example. That's a really useful thing to do at the moment. And your food should change depending on the seasons, and it does naturally to a certain extent, but we sometimes just eat the same things all year round, whereas actually when it comes to this season, we should be eating more warming, nourishing, slightly heavier foods, because we need to keep warm. And you know, warming spices, for example, which Ayurveda uses quite a lot of, but lots of everyday culinary spices. And to also just to really make sure you've got a routine. Your life is quite steady that's a very important aspect of Ayurveda. It's particularly if you're someone who's tends to be quite flighty or quite airy, then really keep making sure that you're sort of looked after, nourished, and have a routine on a daily basis. That's another really important aspect.
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, actually, because I'm somebody who often struggles with routine, and yet whenever I stop being a coach, right, so I stop and I ask myself the question, what's that about? I actually have certain things in my week, let's say, that happen without me thinking about them. So they exist as a routine, and it is a routine that supports me. But if I then try and carry that through, let's say, given that I work from home and I have more than one business, I've several times tried to have my week divided into, well, you know, I don't know, let's just say Mondays I'm going to work on X marketing, let's say, and Fridays I'm going to do accounts, and that never works for me, because there what it does is take me out of my flow. And so I've begun to look at, well, okay, so let's take routine. What are the things that genuinely support me being the individual I am and set me free? And what's the application of routine, which actually is much more coming from my mind and is coming from this place of, well, I ought to, or I should, you know, have a routine in terms of, you know, every Monday it's marketing, every Friday's accounts or something like that, which actually really doesn't work for me because it takes all my creativity away and my freedom. So is that the sort of thing you might talk about that with somebody in one of your consultations? How could that go?
Absolutely. I mean, the amazing thing about an Ayurvedic consultation is that we cover anything that really comes up. And talking about coaching, actually, there's quite a bit of coaching involved as well about what the person in front of you needs. It's about that whole person, not just the sum of their ailments, you know, oh, we need to sort that out, need to sort that out. It's actually that person. So discussing that sort of thing would be important. And for that, one of the very useful tools in Ayurveda is something called the doshas, which is a way of looking at the body and the mind and classifying it into three main bioenergetic types, we should say, and they have functions within the body and within the mind. But if there's someone who comes to see me who's predominantly a Vata dosha, for example, which is someone who is quite airy and quite likes to be creative and move and change things, then in a funny way they actually need more routine, but not in a routine which is against their nature. So it is more of a daily routine to help them keep that creativity alive, but to stop it getting frenetic. Yes. And so therefore to make sure that they're, you know, in bed on time, for example, yes, and eating at the right times of day for them, drinking at the right times of day, and things like that. But really about listening to your body, and as a practitioner, really understanding the other person, and then working it from there rather than just saying, oh, well, I'm sure other people do this, so it should be right for me. And as you say, that then stops any creativity, and also it wouldn't be healthy.
Which is a really interesting point. I mean, two things are coming to me. A is, we talk a lot about authenticity in this program. In fact, we talk about it again and again, because for me, it's the core of being happy and healthy. And managing a busy life is much easier if you're being authentic to who you are. But then that raised a question for me, which is, so most people you see presumably have families. How do you manage a family where there might be different natures in the family? And so, you know, the right time to go to bed for one person could be very different from another person. The right time to eat for one person could be very different. And I know that you have three children. So how are you managing that?
Well, I think the good thing is there are some things which are just good, full stop. So not going to bed late, just good for everyone. So that's quite useful. In terms of what they eat and when they eat, to a certain extent, they have because they eat very healthily, they all their appetites are very good, and therefore they will all get pretty hungry around the same time of day because I'm not giving them snacks and so on. So that sort of works out quite well. But they are all different constitutions, as we say. So I've got one who's sort of a more of a kapha type, who is kind of a bit heavier and a bit more likes to sleep and all that kind of thing. So she, you can always count on her to sleep a bit longer. And I've got one who's of a pitta type, who's quite fiery and who wants to eat all the time. So I just have to bear that in mind, always making sure that his food is ready exactly on time. Whereas, right, you know, the other two can sort of give or take, you know, half an hour, whereas the youngest one absolutely has to have his food at the right time, or else the whole world is ending. So it's really useful to see your children in that respect, and yes, be able to understand their needs like that. But yeah, you can't tailor make everyone within the family to a, you know, minute by minute basis. But
yeah, it's a broad brush approach, yeah, as it is, yeah, enough, it sounds. Yeah. Yeah. So how did you become an Ayurvedic practitioner? I mean, just literally, what did you study? What was the process?
Well, once I decided I wanted to do it, it all sort of seemed to flow together quite nicely. I found out about a degree course, because you have to have a degree in Ayurveda to practice. Well, if you want to join a professional organization, you need to. Yeah. And soon the government will also be regulating, and they will also say the same thing. So I always knew I needed a degree, and so I signed up for that. So I did a 3-year BSc in Ayurveda. And then I had to do 500 hours of internship, which had to be done in India. And just as I finished my degree, I had my first child. So I had to put the internship off for a while. And then eventually, a few years on, just the last couple of years, I've managed to get out to India. And I've done 3 stints out there and did about a couple of hundred hours each time, and going to some amazing Indian Ayurvedic hospitals out there and learning from some fantastic people who I'm really grateful for. And out there, Ayurveda is about 50% of the healthcare system.
Right.
So the hospitals for Ayurveda there are like the same size as hospitals here. They have like 13 different departments, yes, about 300 people coming through the door every day. And it's their first port of call, actually, when things go wrong, rather than a lot of the time here, alternative or holistic health can actually be kind of once you've tried out some of the other methods, whereas there you catch things really quickly and early, because people are coming in, you know, with sort of minor ailments, with A&E kind of situations. So you get to see a really broad variety of things there. So that's where I completed my training, and now I practice as an Ayurvedic practitioner here.
And you're practicing where?
I practice in Hampton.
Okay, yeah. Great. And so I guess just for me to get a really good idea is just wonder about some examples of things that people might bring or have brought to you. On the one hand, what might people commonly bring? And on the other hand, what would you say as a practitioner? You may not know you could bring this, but actually you can, which is two totally different kettles of fish.
Well, there are some really common things which people who know about Ayurveda think of. So Ayurveda's got a lot to do with digestion. Okay. So any digestive disorders, you know, IBS, for example, hyperacidity, those sort of things, people will often think about Ayurveda for those sort of things, because that is a very obvious choice. But there are a wealth of different things that people come with. For example, I've just recently had a patient who came with rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
And it was great, because he actually came at a very early stage in the progress of the disease, which means it's much easier to treat at that stage. Rheumatoid arthritis from any medical system is actually quite a tricky beast, but Ayurveda's got some fantastic treatments for that. So looking at his diet and his lifestyle, there's a wonder drug, Googaloo, which we've prescribed for that, which helps with the pain and also acts as a tonic for the digestion and the body and the bones and everything to do with it. And also some external treatments, for example, using dry heating on the joints, which releases the pain by, you know, helping the flow of blood and so on to those areas. So that anything to do with joint pain, osteoarthritis as well, lots of different treatments there. And things like asthma, there's another, a younger child who we saw with asthma. So again, the same sort of idea, looking at it from all sorts of angles there. So really, I mean, infertility, various different women's health problems. The list is very large.
And it sounds almost like the easier question to answer is what wouldn't you bring? Which I'm not really expecting you to answer, but just in terms of, I guess, placing it for people, when might you go and see your general practitioner and when is it okay to see an Ayurvedic practitioner? I just wonder if that's a question people might have.
I think I will always advise people if there's anything that strikes me as a little bit concerning, I'd always say go to your GP, have whatever blood tests need doing, see what they diagnose. Also, you can bring me the blood tests and we can have a look at them as well, but definitely go through those routes as well. But if people decide that they want to be treated in a more holistic way and not take some of the drugs that are being offered, for example steroids for arthritis, then they can come with a diagnosis if they want, or get treated like that. But I think especially if I see any warning signs,
yes,
then they should always go and be checked up by the sort of orthodox medical system as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, there are a lot of people who will be in the same situation I was in, where I was being treated for years for asthma, and after 12 years, second year on steroids, and just basically year on year it was getting worse rather than better. And there was just no answer, apparently. Yeah. And so that was my point at which I was like, okay, I'm going to try something else. And it cleared up within a matter of 2 months, because the issue was that I was gluten intolerant. Yeah. And that had just gone undiagnosed. And I'd never been asked about my diet ever, not once in the 12 years. So I am sure that there are other people in a similar sort of situation. And I kind of like this, thinking about there's more than one way. Yeah. And you don't need to limit yourself to one way. And with holistic therapies, the whole point of holism is to look at the whole of the person. And so if your medical care doesn't make you feel whole, and like you're being taken care of as a whole, your mind, your emotions, your spirit, as well as your body, then that might be an indicator to look for a holistic practitioner alongside. Well, that's fantastic. I have one last question to ask you, which is what you personally do to manage stress.
Well, I do lots of things. I mentioned earlier that I meditate. That has always been fantastically useful. I get up before the children every morning to make sure I get some peace time in the morning where I can do that, and that gets me through the day. I also have a tricycle which I put two of my children on the back of, and that actually, since I've got that, that's been quite a stress reliever, because I don't have to get in the car, I don't have to fight with traffic, I don't have to fight with parking outside the school gates. I get fantastic exercise, fresh air, and the kids love it. So actually, in a funny way, that's quite a stress reliever for
great.
Me.
Making it's great us both
fun,
smile.
Yes. And I'm getting fit, and I don't have to pay for the gym. I also do some pranayama, which is a form of breathing exercises, as you would know, from the yogic tradition. I find that very useful, just dealing with the breath. And also talking things through with my lovely supportive husband, who is also a coach and who also always seems to ask the right questions. So that helps.
Yeah, right. And it's so helpful to have that person to be a sounding board. And, you know, if you're lucky to have that in your partner, I think. But, you know, if people don't have that in their partner, that's what friends are for. You know, we get this wonderful opportunity to have friends. I always think we don't need to expect our partner to be everything to us. You know, actually, a range of friends that you take different things to can really help too. So thanks, Kate. I really enjoyed having you with us today. If people wanted to find out more, where should they go?
Well, I have a website, theayurvedapractice.com, and I have a telephone number, 020-3166-5086.
And so, just in case somebody doesn't know how to spell Ayurveda.
Yes, AYURVEDA.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. And looking forward to welcoming listeners to the next Feel Good with Jo in 2 weeks' time.